We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning. You're listening to House Plans. Glad to be with you. Got a little pollen issue going on. So if I start coughing, Keith, it's all you.
It's changing. The weather is changing. Very unpredictable this time of year.
Yes, but we'll try to make it through. JD is out on the road today, so you and I are going to have to do the heavy lifting. And, of course, as always, we're looking for the calls, comments. If you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 866-442-7553 is the toll-free number. And then, of course, you can always hit us up on the text line, 71307. That's the easiest way to get in touch with us, is 71307. But if you want to be on the air, reach out, give us a call.
We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So what's going on, Keith, in real estate?
I think there's caution in the market right now. The buyers are becoming a little more cautious, I think. Now, statistically, we're down a little bit from last year, and
right.
I'm optimistic about the market continues to grow. Our market continues to grow.
So now, of course, we don't have March numbers yet. That'll be a couple of weeks, probably 10 days, I would think, from now when we'll have those. But what's your feeling?
Yeah, I sense that buyers are going to have a little easier time of it this year. Now, we talked last week and really every week about the entry-level price point, just below the median price.
Sure.
There's just no inventory, and it'll continue to be that way for a while until the production builders catch up and begin to deliver some product in that price point.
Sure.
Which they really haven't done.
But for the listener, what price point are you talking about?
In that 200 plus or minus a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little tight in that market, and, you know, if you're an outlying areas and you're looking, you know, say that 125 to 175. I talked to somebody this week that was, you know, their target purchase price was 130, and their goal was to get from the Pickens area closer to the Greenville area. And I said, wow, that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, there's certainly some stuff out there, but that's going to be a challenge when it comes to your number of opportunities.
Yeah, particularly as you come closer to the city of Greenville. As you come closer, the pricing goes up dramatically.
Significantly,
really.
Yeah. Sure. And then
until you get downtown, and then nobody can afford it. It's too pricey downtown.
Yeah, I heard I was talking to one of the bankers at a huddle we had yesterday, and he was talking about lots in the downtown area being, you know, $220,000 to $275,000 for a lot. And
if
you can find one, that's right. And very, very pricey. And so obviously, if you're going to build and you're spending that kind of money on your lot, then, you know, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah. And there's so much going on. You know, this week or last couple of weeks, they opened the new it's a Residence Inn Spring Hill Suites. They announced a Bohemian Hotel. It's going to be, well, they announced it some time ago, but they're going to break ground in the next week or two. There's just a lot of rooms coming online, one
sure.
across from the field house there. And then, of course, Unity Park. They should be breaking ground any day on Unity Park. So Greenville is jumping.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of things happening. I guess you were telling me you were taking a tour yesterday up in the Spartanburg area, and lots of things happening up that way as well.
Yeah, Spartanburg continues to push forward hard in terms of revitalizing downtown. They're doing a lot of good things. And what really surprised me is usually I take 101 to 221 when I'm in that Carolina Country Club area, which is southwest of Spartanburg.
Right.
But I took Highway 290 yesterday, and I was a little bit surprised at how many very large businesses
sure.
are down in that. There's a Tiger River Industrial Park down there, and of course, most of that development in that 101, 290 area south of 85 is automotive related. And they're just a ton of businesses.
Businesses going on.
You know, I've got a BMW client right now. He said they're building 1,300 cars a day at that plant.
Oh, yeah. Knocking it out.
Yeah, those are big numbers.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, give us a shout this morning, 866-442-7553. Chris from County Bank Mortgage, Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker, here to answer your questions, calls, or get your comments. You can always hit us up on the text line 71307. We'd love to hear from you this morning. This is House Plans. Got a couple of great topics. Keith, rates are down.
How about that?
Yeah. The 12 or 14 month lows. Not sure that the listeners know that, but rates are down. Locked some folks in. I think we locked one last week under 4% on a 30 year fix. So if you've been thinking about refining, good time to call. And then, of course, I got a good one for you, one of your favorite topics, appraisal value versus replacement cost. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker here to answer your questions, calls, and comments. Love to hear from you this morning, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us up on the text line 71307. We got one of my favorite texts already this morning. It says, y'all, I like it. I like the beginning. Tell everybody that Greenville's full. We only have enough space for the people that are here now, our people that grew up here, and it's enough.
Enough
business for
the
natives.
Right.
Just saying. Yeah. That's all. We don't want anybody else. You know, and I do remember this, Keith. You know, one of the important decisions when you relocate is, okay, where am I going to live? What part? And, of course, for those listeners that don't know, our office is over on Pelham Road. And then my parents still live in the house in Anderson that I grew up in. So I picked right in the middle. So I moved over to Piedmont. And when I used to come to work in 2001, I'd hop on 85, set the cruise at 70, and never touch the brake. And now, if I get above 40 on the way into work, I'm impressed. So it's changed just a little,
changed
just a hair.
Dramatically.
Can you just think about that? Think about what it was like in 2001, and what it's like in 2019. You know, first of all, mortgage rates in 2001 were 8.5%, and everybody was happy.
You know, I saw the mayor touting and talking about the new Woodruff Road bypass that runs from Verde over to Woodruff Road, and he was saying it was going to take, or they were saying it was going to relieve about 7,500 cars a day off of Woodruff Road.
Right.
But what I'm getting at is that the growth is diminishing our quality of life, and it has been for about the last, I'd say, year and a half. Now, that doesn't mean we have a bad quality of life. It just means that it's turned from getting better, from trending to better, to
slightly more challenging.
Yeah, and they're gonna, if they're not careful, they're gonna kill the goose that laid the golden egg. And I read an article about 6 months ago. There was a lady in Hilton Head that wrote every year a letter to the editor about what they were doing to Hilton Head.
Yes.
That it used to be a paradise island in Hilton Head 25, 30 years ago.
Sure. And I used to go down there then.
Every year she would write the newspaper and say, you guys are destroying this island. And now they're at the stage where it's almost paralyzed with traffic in Hilton Head.
Sure.
The people that work on Hilton Head can't live there anymore because it's too pricey.
Too expensive.
So they have to commute from off the island. There's no...
And deal with the traffic.
That's right. And at a certain point, people just say this is not worth it.
Yeah. Well, we got another good text over here, too, Keith, that says the city of Spartanburg voted to tax the whole county to pay for their new jail and courthouse, providing a great example of why the Electoral College is still needed. So talking about taxes, we're going to tax everybody for what we're going to do in this spot.
And you know what happened at the courthouse? They've got mold in that old, very dated courthouse in Spartanburg.
And going to have to replace it.
Yeah, and the number's a big number. I can't remember, but it's probably a couple of $100 million. Well, maybe not that much. That sounds too large.
It's going to be expensive.
But it's a big number,
right?
And everybody's going to have to pay for it, and everybody's taxes are going up.
And nobody is happy about that.
Nobody likes it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll ask you this question.
Except the staff in that works in the courthouse.
Put you on the spot, but I have a friend that used to live in Piedmont, my son's best friend, and they're retired. He's retired military, and I thank him for his service. But they've been in Utah for a while, big skiers, and decided maybe not where they want to be and thinking about coming back to South Carolina. And, you know, they lived here for a small period of time, but it's been a while. What's some of the things that you would say they need to think about when they're picking a place to live? They're going to want some privacy.
Right.
You know, and so I said, well, you know, obviously Anderson County is going to be a little bit cheaper on taxes and things of that nature and have some of those bigger plats. But if they're looking in the Greenville area, are they going to have to go to TR to get that? Or
well, you know, I always start, Chris, with defining your objectives, okay? And when I say that, my conversation with clients at the very beginning is, tell me a little bit about what your life is going to look like. What do you do? Are you a golfer? Are you a skier? You mentioned skiing. Are you a foodie? Do you want to? Are you an outdoor person that enjoys hiking and biking?
Right.
And when you look at their day-to-day quality of life, and then you map out geographical location with budget.
Sure.
So I can be here for this amount.
Or here
for this amount.
Sure.
And what is more important to me?
Absolutely. Well, listen, we got our first caller of the day. We're going to hop over to JD in Columbia. What's going on, JD?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How's the basketball tournament going?
Well, it's still a little early. We play at 9, so
okay.
We've got a few minutes. But I figured Keith would be talking about quality of life, so I thought I'd call in.
Well, you got it right.
Listen, nobody knows about quality of life more than Keith.
That's right.
Well, you know, people who get theirs don't want anybody else. So once you get yours, you don't want anybody else to get it, right? And
they're moving here from
everywhere.
Yep.
So, you're right about that. Yeah,
so what's going on?
Exactly right. Not much. Just wanted to make sure you guys were talking about those low interest rates.
Yeah, I mentioned them a little bit earlier, and I heard one of the loan officers talking this week about locking a 30-year fixed at under 4. So that was great news.
It was. We had a lot of refi activity this week, a lot of people calling in, you know, it seemed like the debt consolidation and the home renovation and those people that were kind of sitting on the sideline for a few months, you know, just watching interest rates kind of pulled the trigger this week. So probably a good time to consider that. So, anyway,
yeah,
it was a good week.
So lots of people looking and saying, hey, JD, what can you do?
Well, yeah, what can you do? And, you know, just a reminder, we got 4 or 5 probably people sending mortgage statements in this week. I talked to some of our other loan officers who had a few statements sent in just to, hey, let's look at what I got now. Let's look at my PMI. You know, can we get rid of it? Just a lot of different opportunities there to do that. And it's just a great time. You know, everybody's kind of asking about the crystal ball and where rates are going. And you know, I tell everybody, look, nobody knows, and you better get some while you can. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
It's a good opportunity to do that for sure.
All right. Well, listen, if you're listening and you want JD to take a look, all you got to do is shoot your current mortgage statement over to askjd@countybankmortgage.com, or you can give us a call at 331-HOME. We'll be happy to look at it for free and give you an update on what we think we could help you out with, whether you could lower your payment or not, and maybe even get rid of some of that PMI, right, JD?
That's exactly right. Well, listen, guys, I know you hadn't gotten any calls yet, so I figured I'd call in. And get
I appreciate you hooking a brother up. Thank you.
Sounds good. Listen, y'all have a good weekend.
All right.
See you, JD.
All right. Well, listen, let's go over to Scott in Verde. Scott wants to talk about what Keith just said, killing the golden goose. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, just out for a little hike this morning, that's all. Caught your show on the way out and just heard you talking about the goose and the golden egg. And I guess what you're saying, Keith, is that, you know, if you keep jamming more and more people into the concentrated area, then that the quality of life, like you said, is going to deteriorate a little bit, you know, frustrations with driving and that sort of thing. But, you know, let's talk about the flip side. The flip side is, you know, if you is urban sprawl. I mean, that's the flip side.
Sure. Yep.
So, you know, take your poison. You know, I know that here in the Verde area, right along Rocky Slope and Woodruff, that vacant piece of property that they've been paying like $2 a year in taxes on, whatever, which I can't quite figure out how something's valued at a couple million dollars, but they're paying, you know, $100 in taxes. But anyway, I digress. The tractors moved in and they cut some paths through there this week, and I walked through there yesterday and, you know, was looking at some century-old oak trees that will be no more in probably a week, because I know they're not going to plan the development around it.
Right.
You know, and then if you go out toward past Traveler's Rest, out toward Echo Park, and there's a knoll up on your left as you're heading out that used to have, you know, gorgeous stand of trees on it, and now it looks like a Marine that went through basic training.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. Well, that's one of the negatives, obviously, is when they come in and they clear cut it instead of, like you said, they're not going to build around it, you know, and you gotta pick your poison. One of the things that the city's done, particularly in Greenville, is a good job of planning what they're doing. So there is some planning going on. And then, you know, I live over in Piedmont, and, of course, there's not as much planning going on there, so it's not as organized. So I would certainly prefer what Greenville's done to what Anderson's done as it relates to how the development's been allowed. But as we get tighter and tighter on the density, Keith, it's gonna create challenges.
Well, it is, but I don't think that the two things are mutually exclusive. You can increase density and manage traffic at the same time. You do not have to, one does not preclude you from the other. And when I watch Woodruff Road, many times over the last 6 months, I've thought about putting a sign on Pelham Road that says savepelhamroad.com or whatever, and creating a database, because my friends, and many of them are my friends, the developers, they have never seen a project they did not like.
Okay? Sure.
The big issue becomes the density and how many cars it's going to put on the road. For example, at Old Bowling Springs Road and Pelham Road, they put a car wash on the corner. There's the Spinks car wash.
Sure.
And so that 1 acre piece of property, there are so many cars coming in and out of that location that they could have zoned that in a different way.
Sure.
And had a different type business. And I'm all for business. Don't get me wrong.
No, me too.
I'm for growth. I've made my living on growth. But at some point, you have to be more careful about it. And sometimes it just does not allow the highest and best use of the property.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
There's a piece of property at the corner of 14 and Roper Mountain Road that the people that own that have been trying to get it rezoned forever, I think. And they want to put medical offices, I think, there. But when you bring X number of cars in and out of one spot,
sure,
on a busy road, you create bottlenecks that just diminish the quality of life for everybody.
Absolutely. And of course, Scott's talking about that Verde area over there. Think about all the change over there in the last 10 years. You know, how much that area has grown. We certainly appreciate the call, Scott.
Hey, Scott, you still there?
I'm still here.
Yeah, we appreciate your call.
Absolutely.
If you live in that Verde area, of course, it's going to be one of the most popular areas in the city when everything is done.
I'm just an interloper. I rent. I can't afford to buy over here. I'm just an interloper.
It's quite expensive, isn't it?
Call JD. He'll hook you up on buying. A lot of people think they can't
buy.
Yeah,
you need to. Whatever you're doing, you want to buy now. I can tell you that, because the prices continue to go up.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your call, Scott.
That was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we got another caller on the line. Let's go over to Danny and Malden. Good morning, Danny. We got about a minute before the break, so we'll let you get started, and we might let you hold through the break.
All right. Good morning, guys. I'm in Marlin, right across the street from the new development they got going on down here at Marlin and Bridges Road.
Right.
And I'm in a house I built 25 years ago that I'm kind of living in it by myself. It's about 3,400 square feet. I'm ready to move out. So my question is, would it be worth my time and investment to update it a little bit or just cut my losses and sell it as is?
Yeah, I think that is a great question. You know, Keith just recently went through that. And then we were out and about together the other day and ran into somebody who was talking about that. Do you want to stay on the line and let us answer the question, or you want to listen on the air?
I think I'm going to listen on the air and
okay.
And move on. I got some things I need to do.
All right.
Maybe I can get back with you.
All right. We got this bottom of the hour break we got to take, and then we'll answer your question. Do you know the purchase or what do you think the value of the property is?
The neighborhood I'm in is $200 to $250, that kind
okay.
of range.
All right. Well, if you'll listen after this bottom of the hour break, we'll be happy to answer the question. Thanks for the call, Danny.
I'll be listening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from The Buyer's Broker here to answer your question, calls, and comments. We've had some good ones so far this morning. You can reach us at 866-442-7553, or you can hit us up on the text line 71307. Before we go to Danny's question, we did get a follow-up comment about the Spartanburg Courthouse. They said, look, I understand the mold. I don't mind paying for one building, but I don't want to buy a whole block. Not interested in everybody getting a new building just because they like the smell of fresh paint.
Yep.
Not interested. So Danny's got an interesting dilemma. He said, living in the house by himself, 3,400 square feet, out in Malden, thinks it's in that perfect price range that you and I were talking about earlier, Keith, that $200 to $250. And so the question becomes, do I do improvements? Do I not do improvements? If I do, what do I do? And I know that you were in a slightly different situation, not that close into town, but what did you decide to do when faced with that question?
Well, the short answer is you have to begin with a conversation of two things. Number one, my goals and objectives. What's important to me? Sell the house quickly. Sell the house at the highest price. Can you hold it for a number of months? And then that will lead to the conversation of return on investment.
Sure.
So typically, in most improvements to the property, you will gain, these are average numbers, just very, very
sure.
general numbers, $2 of return for every dollar you invest on the property.
Right.
And then, of course, you have to decide where and what.
Sure.
Paint and carpet.
Right.
Do I redo the kitchen? You know, the kitchen is the most expensive.
Right, but also one that you're going to get the most return on,
that's,
right?
That's right. Done correctly. You got to be careful about not over-improving the property for the neighborhood. So sometimes if you're at the top of the price point and you improve your property, then you
don't
may
get
not
that
get
return.
That return that you need to.
So let's talk a little bit about specifics. When you were going to sell your house, I guess it's 18 months ago now? Almost 2 years ago. You went through this entire analysis.
I did.
On your property. And ultimately, what things did you decide to do?
Well, I started again, as I was saying earlier, I started with my objectives. What was I trying to accomplish? And I wanted to sell my house quickly. It was more important for me to sell it quickly because, number one, I owned two houses at the time.
Sure.
And I wanted to sell
one. So you had bought before you sold.
That's
right. So you didn't want to carry both mortgages.
That's right.
So that was in your math.
That was my number one criteria,
okay.
was really to sell it quickly. And then I tried to pick the price point that would help me accomplish that. And in my case, I replaced some things that we would say are not functionally obsolete. Okay, so I had silestone quartz
countertops
in my kitchen, but I updated it to a more contemporary color.
Right.
I painted the whole house. I replaced all those.
Interior and exterior?
Yeah,
or just,
yes. Well, both. I didn't have much on the outside, but I painted the entire house.
Okay.
Replaced all the I had the old bronze-colored hardware and hinges.
Okay.
I replaced all that. Now, did I have to do that? Well, probably not.
But you were trying to make the house more appealing to today's buyer.
That's right.
And, of course, because of your profession, you have insight to what those buyers are looking for.
That's right.
You know, you hear them walk into the 1983 house that has the oak cabinets and them go, oh.
That's right.
You know, or walk into it where they've been painted gray and go, ah.
That's right.
You know, those colors change. And so you had plenty of insight there. From a pricing standpoint, when you go to paint the interior of a house, how big was the house?
A little over 3,000 square feet.
Okay, so similar to what Danny's got. What kind of price should he expect if he decided to paint the entire inside of the house?
Anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 or $8,000, depending on the square footage.
Right.
Whether they have to do
trim.
And we're drilling down whether what they call roll and back roll gives you two coats, or they have to put two coats,
right,
depending on the color, or even maybe a kills and then two coats.
Sure, but for a 3,000 square foot house, you're looking anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000, depending on who you can do it.
Yeah,
and then, of course, you may be 3, 4, 6, 8 weeks out, as busy as the contractors are as well.
Right.
So
yeah,
you'll need to
and
take
there are
that.
Different types of paint jobs, for example.
Sure.
You can do the premium. And many sellers would do that middle of the road paint job. And when I say that, you know, you're not buying the $40 a gallon paint, you're buying $20 a gallon paint. So there are a lot of variables, but the net of it was I was able to sell the house first day, first person.
Yeah, and then so when you went into the kitchen, that's where you really started spending some money there, right?
I did. I spent a lot of money.
Now, did
all
you
new
paint
appliances,
or
all
did
new...
you? What did you do cabinet wise? Did you paint?
Well,
you...
I had white cabinets, so they had already come back around.
Okay.
Okay. So the trend back to lighter painted cabinets.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have to deal with that, fortunately.
So good with the cabinets, but you did do countertops.
Countertops, appliances.
And countertops were expensive.
Yes, that's right.
And then you upgraded all the appliances to the newest
from
best
white
thing.
To stainless steel.
There you go. Once again, something that's appealing in the market. How did you address the flooring, Keith?
Well, I had site finished hardwood floors.
So those were fine.
Yeah.
Other things that you did? I know hardware. A lot of times, you know, I went through this when I built a house. I was like, whoa, that knob is $12.88. I mean, you know, and yeah, I got how many of those?
It's about $4,000 worth of hardware.
Yeah. And so when you start talking about hinges and doorknobs and all that, one of the things you want to make sure you're doing is you are moving into the area where it's trending, right?
That's right.
You want to know what the color is. What do people expect? What are they looking for? And you know, a good resource for that is any real estate agent, because they hear it all day long. And if somebody's trying to decide, Keith, do I do this or this or this or this, they can always shoot JD an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, and Keith can give you a little decorating
Absolutely.
Advice, because
yeah.
you know what they're looking for, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you know whether they want shag carpet in the bedroom or whether they want flat carpet or whether they want hardwoods with a rug.
You know, and Chris, it's very difficult for a seller to invest that money
yes.
in the house. But again, if you want to sell it quickly and at a premium price, and you've got to put it in condition to compete with the other product on the market.
Absolutely. Well, we got another text question over here, Keith. If you want to text us, you can hit us at 71307. It says, experience with earth berm homes. And I will say, in my career, I've looked at three or four of them. Very difficult to get financed, but as I understand, they are very energy efficient.
Yes, and I don't think I've ever seen but one in our market. When we start talking about an unconventional construction,
right?
Then you talk about the pool of buyers that are going to want to sell to buy your home when you get ready to
sure.
sell it. So
maybe the perfect hand for you, the perfect
right.
house for you, you may love it, but then when you get ready to sell it, it may be a problem.
That's right. And the marketplace is very slow to adopt innovation.
Right.
So there are only a couple of builders in town at the high end of the market who are early adopters of the technology and construction techniques that are on the leading edge.
Sure.
I'll give you an example. I only know of one neighborhood and one that's about to come online where there are solar shingles on the house. It's a net, it's what's called a net zero energy efficiency. And the marketplace is slow to adopt these new technologies.
Sure.
Now, in that particular case, that neighborhood sold very well. It's in TR. I think you probably, on a $300,000 house, you probably paid a 15 to 20% premium
sure.
from the competition to gain that net zero energy efficiency.
Yeah, I got a question this week, Keith, email question about what about a tiny home? Do you finance tiny homes? And of course, generally they are on wheels and they're movable, and so they, you know, you can't do conventional financing. That would need to be a portfolio bank product as a general rule. And of course, because we are a community bank, we can look at those with the right amount of money down. But unusual things, dome homes. What do they call it when it's tent's not the right word, but when it's in the mountains and it's an octagon and, you know, I mean, anything that's unusual.
Out of the ordinary.
Anything that's unique, it may be valuable, but you may have a hard time getting an appraisal on it, or you certainly may have a hard time getting a 30-year fixed loan on it. Doesn't mean you can't do it, just going to be a little more challenging.
And then always think about resale.
Yeah.
Always.
That's right. Yep. Well, listen, we're going to head into our final break of the day. Fantastic show. Appreciate all the listeners, callers, and texters. That what makes it great. So if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with the real estate, 866-442-7553. Or you can hit us on the text line 71307. If you want to reach us outside the show, shoot us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. Chris Roberts from County Bank Mortgage in the house. Keith Clark from the Buyer's Broker. Taking your questions, calls, and comments, anything to do with the real estate, 866-442-7553. And you can always text us at 71307. The name of that property, that type of house I was talking about, is a yurt. Do not buy a yurt. No, I'm just kidding. If you want, I mean, if you want a yurt, buy a yurt, but you're not going to finance it on 30-year fixed.
And think about how long it'll take you to resell the
yurt. When that canvas roof wears out, it's not going to be cheap. Well, listen, we do have another caller on the line. We're going to go over to Tom in Columbus. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are you all doing?
We're fantastic. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I don't know if you, I'm sure you, JD, remembers me.
Y'all, I remember.
Buy this. Okay, Keith, and then Keith hooked us up with Sam on Hilton Head. Y'all, your whole program and group has been a tremendous blessing to our family for, gosh, what, 7 or 8 years now. What I'm calling about, here we are. We've, you know, the house is paid for. We own 3.5 acres and a real nice house that's about 2,000 square feet. And my wife is interested in downsizing, and we just thought about the idea of taking, you know, part of the 3.5 acres. It's wooded, has really nice mountain views. Build in a smaller house that's really state-of-the-art, something that would be real easy to sell in a few years when we actually do retire.
Sure.
And move into this smaller house and sell the bigger one or rent the bigger one. What's your take? Would you think better just to go ahead and stay where you are, sell the whole business in a few years, or does that sound like a reasonable plan to build something smaller, state-of-the-art, and then plan on moving out maybe 3 or 4 years from now?
Yeah, well, it's a loaded question because there's a answer because there's a million different questions you'd have to ask. My initial thought would be subdivide, build what you want, sell what you had, you know, and especially if you love the area that you're living in. Property is hard to find, right, Keith? I just had that conversation with you. You know, my wife and I have a daughter that's going to graduate from college, God willing, in 2 years. And then, you know, my story is I could move to the moon. So where do I want to move? And looking for property that you like that's reasonably priced is difficult. And if you already have it, you might have that problem solved.
Yeah, and what at first glance, I agree with Chris that we really talk about this in the context of what's the highest and best use of the property. Now, when I moved, I had some excess property too. And there are two or three things you want to consider. Now, I'm not an accountant, but you also want to look at the tax implications of what you're going to be doing. So if you sell your home and the property that's contiguous to it within 2 years of each other, then the Internal Revenue Service views it. If you split it up and sell it, they view it as one sale, and you
as your primary,
as
right?
As your primary, right. And you would be exempt under the taxing laws. But you want to talk to your accountant about it. And then the next thing is, the project is typically more complicated than you think it is. So you've got a basic idea of what you want to do, but I would not begin the process without looking at it both from a tax, a compliance point of view. When I say that, what the county and the city, the county requires you to do in terms of infrastructure and development. And I would get a professional involved in some capacity, particularly at the beginning, because as someone, if you're not in the business, and even if you are in the business, if you're working in an area where it's not your specialty,
sure,
then you could get bitten, and you want to be real careful about that. Because here's one more thing. If you're going to build a smaller home next to your larger home, then you may be driving down the value of your larger home. Now, that I'm not saying that's
but
what's
going to
happen, but you need to look at all those things before you pull the trigger or commit resources or make a decision that you can't undo.
And, of course, you know, what Keith's talking about from a tax perspective is, you know, the capital gains that you would make on those properties. So in Keith's situation, he did the research and he said, look, I have my house here. Plus you had two lots, Keith, or one?
Well, I had two lots on
two lots
two
to
and
the
a half
right,
acres, right.
To the right of your house.
That's right.
And what you did is you sold those two lots to one person who built on it,
that's
right?
That's right.
And then you sold your primary residence to somebody else.
Yep.
But because of the way the IRS treated that, Keith was able to
avoid taxes.
To avoid the taxes because it was his primary residence, even though he split it and sold
That's right.
it. So you would want to check on that to make sure.
And there's a window. You have
right.
a certain period of time to do it. So I went ahead and sold the property,
right?
Put that cash in my pocket, and then put my house on the market.
And of course, why did you do it that way? You did it because that was the
highest
and best use and the way to make the most money off of the property.
That's right.
Whereas somebody buying your house and getting those two lots for free may have just said, well, you know, Keith, I appreciate those two lots to the right, but I'm not going to pay you the price of a lot.
Well, that's true. Now, also,
and whereas when you split them, you get the opportunity to get lot price.
That's right. But remember, you're also, you may be diminishing the quality or the pricing of the home that sits on the larger tract of property.
Sure.
So there are a lot of variables to consider. And like I said, you really want to go at it from a business process point of view.
Sure.
And if you think you know, but most of the time we all think we know more than we do.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a diehard do-it-yourselfer, but I made the biggest mistakes is when I didn't ask the question of somebody that knew better than me.
That's
right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, just based on the general knowledge and the fact that we've dealt with the properties before, you know, and been in similar situations, it sounds like a good idea, but you do have a lot of research you need to do. And then, of course, you know, Keith's right. You don't want to, you know, if you're in 2,500 square feet now, you might not necessarily want to build 1,200 square feet. You may downsize and build 18. You don't want to build, you know, I've seen somebody do this, build two bedroom, one bath. Beside three or four houses that are four bedrooms, three baths. And, of course, that creates a problem. You know, we were in Keith and I, and this was years ago, there was a builder that built a, I don't know what they call it, but it was a showcase home, right? And they built it in a very, very nice neighborhood over in Piedmont, high end. And the first time I walked the house, the first thing I realized is that there was only two bedrooms and two baths above grade.
Yeah.
And, you know,
tell them what that means,
yeah,
Chris.
So to me, that is a two bedroom, two bath house with a basement. And so,
on
you know,
an appraisal. That's
on
right.
an appraisal. And so I'm thinking, somebody made a mistake here. And so I started searching for other rooms that were on the main floor that had a closet that might be used as an office. And there wasn't any. The way the property was constructed, it was a two-bedroom, two-bath with two more bedrooms and two more baths in the basement. And I said, whoa, if somebody doesn't pay cash for this, there's going to be an appraisal problem.
Yeah.
Because I knew that neighborhood very well. I actually lived in the neighborhood. There was no other property within 5 miles that had two bedrooms, two baths. It turned out that somebody did come in and pay cash for the house and paid top dollar. But, you know, those are the kind of things you need to think about when you build.
Yeah, I mean, it might be appropriate to build a bigger house next to the existing home.
It might.
Right?
I mean, where are you going to get your best, you know, where
yeah,
are you
don't think about it just from your perspective and
right.
your personal quality of life and how you're living. Think about it in terms of return on investment,
sure.
highest and best use of the property. And that's the way real estate professionals approach
yeah, and,
this
and
type
let's
of
not
scenario.
Forget this. Once you've lived in it two out of the past five, okay,
yeah.
you'll be able to sell it again and avoid
not
the capital gains again.
That's right.
So you may be able to double down on what you got now, move into something new. 2 years from now, double down on it again. And so, you know, that is a great strategy.
It is. And I know of a gentleman downtown in on the North Main area who did exactly what Chris is talking about. He renovated his existing home. He had a downtown, you can subdivide because there most of the time there are no restrictions on those properties that were built 60 or 70 years ago.
Right.
So then he built one right next to it, moved into it, sold his existing home, and then 2 years later built another one. And it takes yeah. you a couple of years to figure it all out anyway.
Sure.
Then he sold that one and moved in. And, of course, what you're doing is that's non-taxable income.
Yeah,
that
and you're building
your
wealth,
yeah.
no doubt about it. So
that sounds great.
Yeah, certainly some great, great questions, Tom. And if you want to talk to us offline, you've got JD's number. Just give us a shout at 331-HOME. And we'd be happy to kind of, you know, look at what you're talking about and give you some insights. And, of course, JD, Keith, and I all know some really good builders. And so, you know, we'd be able to give you some insight on that as well. And if you plan it right for the future, you could really hit a home run.
That's great. I can't thank you enough for the advice. Now I've got to share all this with my wife so that we all sit down together.
All right, and then ultimately here's...
You can go to the website and play the podcast for her.
There you go. You could just let her
perfect.
Listen to it.
Well,
yeah.
Perfect.
And then, of course, here's
That's
the most
great.
Important thing, Tom. When she tells you what she wants to do, do it.
Do it.
Oh,
don't ask any questions. Just do it.
Yeah, that's exactly
that's why
right.
we're having this conversation. He wants another house.
There you go. Well, good
hey,
luck with that.
Again, fellas. Really
Thank you, Tom.
It. God bless you both, everybody. Take
All right.
care.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Well, listen, you know, that's a very interesting situation. And, of course, Keith, you and I both know that when you go to build, you better have a strong marriage. It's going to be fun.
Yes, challenging.
And you better find a great builder because, boy, the builder can add some stress
the
to your life.
The most important decision you'll make.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we've seen some really good ones and dealt with some really good ones. And so, you know, that will be the most important decision. And then, of course, negotiating that contract, you know, they don't all come in the same flavor.
That's right.
You know, you're going to do a cost plus. You're going to do a set contract fee. Lots and lots of things to think about. And, of course, one of the things we always remind people is if you're doing new construction, don't forget the inspections. Just because it's new construction doesn't mean it was done right.
That's
so
right.
please
map out your financing up front, right?
Yeah. Oh,
Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. But please have it inspected along the way because, you know, you want to make sure you don't find any issues while you're going through the process. Well, Keith, great show. JD is on the road today, but he'll be back and ready to take your calls, questions, and comments next week, as well as always off the air. You can reach him at askjd@countybankmortgage.com, or you can give us a ring at 331-HOME. That's 331-4663. I appreciate all the listeners, callers, and comments. Great show. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.